Am I live? I'm live. Wow. Good to know. I'll wait until people start arriving. Hopefully they will, or I'll just sit here on my own, which would be very disappointing. I have prepared many of your questions, got them all listed and ready to go. But oh, I'm live again. Something must have technically gone wrong. Marvelous. All technology hates us. So let's just see what's happening. Maybe I need to cancel some programs and free up some bandwidth. Who knows what's going on? Yes, well, more people are coming in, which is better, but I'm not convinced it's not going to crash again. Let's see how we go. Hello, Max. Absolute pleasure to meet you. Hello, David. Hopefully we will get some more people in. I have prepared questions. Ah, good, right. So massive batch of people. Right, great, fine. Actually, this is fine. I just had a small break, small heart attack that people weren't going to come. But there they are. Everybody is. Afternoon, everybody. Hello. Please do say hi. I mean, my Substack is a very friendly community. I don't really know YouTube yet, but I'd like it to be a friendly community. The idea is that you can ask questions that other lawyers might be rude to you if you ask them, whereas I never will be. So you can ask me any question about law that you want, or the Constitution. I thought I'd start this week just by, first of all, saying that I am genuinely upset at the sacrilege in Canterbury at the cathedral, where stickers depicting graffiti have been plastered all over the cathedral, which is one of our most beautiful and sacred buildings. I have faith, but like a lot of people, I just generally didn't bang on about it. And I sort of thought it was a private thing. But if people are going to start doing this and just actively antagonizing people of faith, then I think we're going to have to talk about it a lot more and just say that this is not acceptable. And if the leadership of the Church of England thinks that it's acceptable to have stickers of graffiti plastered all over the walls of Canterbury Cathedral, and then the leadership of the Church of England has gone mad. I mean, that's basically where we are. I'm not living through wokeism. It's not compatible with God and religion. It's obviously Marxism, which is itself atheistic. It is sad, Max. Yes. If anybody has any questions, do start asking them or getting prepared to ask them. I want to point out about Canterbury. I want to point out the China spies case isn't going to go away. A lot of people inside the apparatus that is SW1, the bubble, if you like to call it that, are quite convinced that this might be the thing that brings Starmer down. So if you want to get up to speed on China spies, I've done a video introducing it, and hopefully, Dono, it does look awful. Hopefully that will introduce everybody to the China spy crisis, which may well bring down the Prime Minister. Good. I will start. The other thing I wanted to say is that I wanted to point out how hard it is, or how rare it is, that where we are with our constitution. So we have a constitution, but almost nobody is taught it. Lawyers are taught it, but in a weird way. I'm odd. I shouldn't really exist, because I should have done what I should have done, and what I did do was go and practice in commercial law, which is very lucrative and earns a lot of money. You can't really practice in constitutional law. So in theory, I should have just forgotten everything I was ever taught. But I'm a nerd, and I'm an academic nerd at heart. And I've always liked constitutional law, for very odd reasons. We did three subjects at Oxford, and then you have to sit an exam. And if you fail that exam, you get kicked out. So it's a pretty important exam. And the three subjects were Roman law, which I've always hated because I don't like civil law systems. So whilst Roman was, I was okay at Roman, fundamentally, it feels wrong. I think drivers talk about, a different feeling to an electric car versus a petrol car. There's just something that feels wrong about a civil law system to me. So I wasn't going to win or do well on the exam on Roman law. The other one was criminal law, which I've always hated. I mean, I know I do explain it now, But it's just so vulgar. It really is like the, and I'm like a little boy from rural Worcestershire sat there in a law library reading these tales of horror and human malice. So I didn't really like criminal law either. So the one that really got me through that exam that could have seen me kicked out of university was constitutional law. And I've sort of never lost it because of that. I've always loved it. And I read everything on it and I, you know, read the new books on it. So there's something called the Constitutional Law Association and they have papers and talks and there are think tanks who do papers and talk. But really, when you get to the nub of it, the problems with our constitution all arise from one very simple issue. There aren't really enough of us. I mean, you can get us all in a medium-sized room. You could fit us all in a Wetherspoons. You know, that's the problem. There just aren't enough of us. And there are people out there now, I'm afraid, who are not particularly knowledgeable on the Constitution and who say really quite outrageous things. And the reason that they can exist is because there aren't enough of us to go around telling people, actually, that's complete nonsense. And I would say that there has been, to my mind, a deliberate obscuring of the Constitution by the left-wing lawyers who want the Constitution to be something it isn't. So if you ever find anybody talking about separation of powers, know that they're almost certainly just... if they're stupid, then they're stupid. But if they're a clever person talking about separation of powers, they are misleading you. Alan, what is the difference between criminal law and commercial law? Criminal law is the act of prosecuting or defending people accused of crimes. So criminal law contains all of the crimes and the possibility of going to prison. It's still got juries. To my mind, there isn't much law in it because the law is largely settled. We have a law against murder. It's very unlikely to change. Oddly, I mean, Parliament since the year 2000 has created so many new criminal offences that you could sort of counter that by saying, well, Stephen, there are loads of new criminal offences. But yes, you have to just learn those by rote. In commercial law, we're still practising the heart of English common law because the world of commerce will create brand new problems that didn't used to exist. AI is a brand new problem, didn't used to exist. And the common law is going to have to deal with this somewhere. When I was practising, you know, we had a lot of trouble with financial products and derivatives. And we are really out there at the edges of the law, the fringes of the law, developing and settling these problems. And because it's commerce, because it's either an individual with a lot of money or a corporation, there's enough money to pay for litigation because you get the problem of paying for litigation. This comes to an absolute head with something like Ofcom, where the law is in a terrible mess, but there's almost nobody to fund any sort of litigation to get the law clear. And Ofcom therefore acts like a complete tyrant. I was very proud of GB News for standing up to them because I think their law is in a terrible state. But you asked only about commercial law and criminal law. Hopefully that's an explanation of the two of them. In commercial law, we don't have juries. It's two barristers and a judge. My level, that was the High Court judge. We hardly ever get anybody coming into the public gallery. So the last case I had somebody come into the public gallery, they came in and about 10 minutes later, and I was speaking, and about 10 minutes later, they left. I was just, oh dear, we're not terribly interesting for people. But that is the fundamental difference. And the real oddity to me is just staying as a constitutional lawyer and staying as a constitutional scholar, because I shouldn't have done. Good evening. I'm glad people like cheer. Literally, Parliament decriminalised little murder of babies. This abortion till death, till birth thing has to go. It absolutely has to go. It is sinister and evil. Digital ID, yes, Daryl, we have to stand up for the company directors because they are bringing in digital ID slowly. They are trying to boil the frog again because that's all they ever do. One of the questions is about digital ID for children being brought in through the education stuff, which is all so true. You can watch any channel as long as it's Ofcom. Yes, and they don't bother regulating the BBC, which is, of course, outrageous. I once went to dinner with the head of Ipsos, which regulates print media, and somebody asked about The Guardian, and he simply said, oh, well, you don't need to worry about The Guardian because they're one of us. And it's like, this is what's going on, people. I mean, this is genuinely what's going on. There is a fine line at which conspiracy theory becomes reality. But that said, we do need to worry about conspiracy theories and rabbit holes and not being too cynical. Very largely, everything is breaking because it's incompetently put together. Largely, things are breaking because there are too many words. I stopped reading The Guardian, which is unfortunate because it was really good for recipes and cooking. I got lots of recipes from The Guardian. I always liked Ottolenghi and people and just finding new food. But there we are. How do we make it competent then? Tom, we need to slim it down. We need to take all the words out of law. When I was a pupil barrister, I was a pupil barrister in something called Chancery Law. And Chancery took itself very, very seriously. I was later led by a commercial QC, and the commercial QC literally had a tick where whenever we were with the solicitors and I made a point, he'd always go, "That's your Chancery brain, your fine Chancery brain." And Chancery really had it, puts itself at an intellectual height. And the point of a Chancery pupillage was that you were supposed to write as few words as possible. So you might be set an a piece of work, and the one who was deemed to have done it best would be the one who did it with as few words as possible, because law needs to be clear. Hello, Batty, all the way from St. Lucia. Wow, that's lovely. I had Portugal last time. I really can't. I'm amazed at all these. Do we need our own constitution? We've got one, Minty. We've got a constitution, but the way, Tom, that we fix things is by getting rid of the words. My people can write succinctly, yes. My best tutor, and she's amazing, she insisted on having the Sun delivered to the senior common room so that she could read it. And this was really, the English dons got really angry about this. They did not like it because they're just sneering at the Sun and they don't like the Sun. But the simple fact is that the Sun, as a newspaper, it's not, you know, it's not the Daily Star, which is teasing. It is a serious publication. It's trying to take itself seriously and it has to use as few words as possible. Well, if you have to use as few words as possible, you end up intellectually so much more disciplined than if, you know, the editor lets you have 1,500 words. I found I'd got sloppy. Oh, hello from South Africa, Matthew. I found I had got sloppy. And then writing for The Spectator, I would send, you know, Fraser 2,000 words and then we'd get it down to 700 and nothing would be lost. So we all need to wake up and get out of this situation where we believe more words is the answer to anything. If you have any engagement with the public sector now, you'll just be sending document after document after document, an avalanche of words, all of which are completely pointless. Hello, Sunderland. Nice to see you here. I'm going to try and get a question, but it keeps moving too fast. Hi, Stephen. What do you think about France taking people's fingerprints and passport details? I think we should not go to France. I really think we should just not go to France. The EU's gone mad. The EU's like us on steroids. They're desperately trying to control the population that is starting to really dislike them. This will not end well. But I think we should avoid going to the EU whilst they're making ridiculous demands. I really like the Americans. But to be honest, I haven't been to America since they started demanding our fingerprints either. I'm not a criminal. I'm not a terrorist. No, you may not steal my personal information. And I think we need to get this back. The idea that, hang on a second, you are the state, and that's great. But I am an individual, and no, you do not have the right to know this about me or know that about me. I was complaining about an electrical fault, a lack of electricity, a power cut. And the power company said, can we have your name? I was just like, no. No, you have my property. You know that the property does not have power to it. Why do you need this? And it's just, we're going to have to limit and just stop it and get used to saying no and not filling in. It's like when things now demand that we have an account. Why do I need an account with you? Why do I need this? And I'm, you know, I am very stubborn in this regard. Some people would say, even friends of mine would say I'm far too stubborn in this regard. But I mean, I won't have a Tesco club card and I don't care how much the discount is. I don't go to Sainsbury's now because that, as far as I'm concerned, that is an 1980s sci-fi dystopia film. And I just found it absolutely appalling. I mean, literally they put a camera and then they put your face and it's just like, who do you think you are? We are all going to have to get back a bit of metal to ourselves, become a bit more solid and push back. Let me see if I can find some other questions. what are we going to do about this? Coda, so I'm going to actually, how can we get rid of Starmer? You must use political noise to get rid of Starmer. So I've told my Substack, and I may as well tell all of you, that I think that the digital petitions that Parliament has are just people management. I don't think that they're genuine. I don't think that they are honest. I think they've probably capped this one on digital ID at 2.8 million now, and I have very little faith in them. Making it digital and putting them in control gives them a lot of power. I would simply write, your constitutional right is to petition the King, not Parliament. So I would petition the King, and I would do it via a letter. And I think a letter or a postcard to the King, in very polite terms, but petitioning him, would have far more of an impact. I think you should arrange locally. I still believe that our constitution requires you to engage. This is how the Victorians set it all up. And then they went about creating all sorts of societies that people could join so that they would become engaged in civic life. And I think we need all sorts of these movements back. The idea that you sit at home at night, consume entertainment, go to work, and are atomized and away from your community is the worst idea that's ever happened to you. The idea that someone else will deal with this, someone else will fix it. And lots of the time I get this, people come up to me and say, which law can we use? And it's like, law is not going to help you. Law is not going to come and save you. Only you will save yourselves. We don't have an English Parliament because the English people didn't want one in the referendum, was my recollection. These are not, the lesser parliaments are not really parliaments. And I'm much happier calling the Senate than the Scottish Parliament, I think it's a mistake to call it that. It isn't Parliament. The real Parliament, Parliament, created it, and Parliament can destroy it. It can't destroy Westminster. Parliament can destroy it. And so, you know, we do have time to grow up, says Jay. Yes, exactly. Issue is, Stephen, when you bring this up locally, you end up sounding like a crackpot. Tom, I know, I am well aware of the danger of sounding like a crackpot. But what I would do is just start engaging with mates and the pub or a church, or finding some group you can join and caring about local issues. I would really be non-party political to begin with. A lot of the members of my Substack have managed to get together groups of people locally to petition maybe a councillor or an MP, or to write to them. Do use your local press. The MPs are still, thank goodness, terrified of democracy. So are the councillors. So that's who you write to. You don't write to the people who work for the council. You don't write to people who work for the government because they're immune to you. They're not at risk of democracy. But you write to the people who are at risk of democracy. How can I approach the government or specific individuals regarding malfeasance, human rights, homelessness through no fault of my own, actively suicidal? That is absolutely appalling. And you must reach out to homeless charities. I think I have more faith in the people who work in homeless charities. We've got one locally. I don't know where you live, but I would reach out to them for support. They are the best vector. In a broken state, the people who work in charities, particularly the smaller charities, but if necessary, a national one, that is who you reach out to. How do we coordinate that? You've got to organise locally. You've got to. And it's going to be either we grow up or we will be children of an oppressive, authoritarian, Chinese-style state. That's it. That's two choices. And Churchill, you know, democracy is the worst form of government except for all the others. When they're not going to invent a new one. They haven't invented a new one. These people are not geniuses. Look at Keir Starmer. Come on, have a look at him. Look at the bollard. Do you think he's a genius? Is he a genius? Is he? No, he's not, is he? Thank you, Brad. That's very kind of you. I love these ones because at least I can see them. It's much easier to see. There were still Palestine marches. The Palestine marches should have been stopped. It's not just that the people want to march for Palestine. It's that the authorities let them, and that we pay for this entire joke, this entire spectacle. I mean, a lot of those protesters are paid to be on the protest, and you know, then we have to pay to police it. The whole thing is just a complete swizz, and it terrifies London's Jews, which is just not on. The one thing I'm quite proud of is that I really do think most people have got it now that the British Jews are not a problem. They're not a danger or a threat to anybody. They don't march and cause trouble. They take their litter home with them when they have a march. You know, these are decent people. And I think the message has cut through. But I wish the authorities would do something about these Palestine marches. Right. I'm trying to find some questions. Oh, I can't see that one move too quickly. If Parliament is sovereign, could they technically abolish elections? And could the King step in such a case? The King would have to step in such a case, I think. And then Parliament is only legitimately compromised by an election. So what he would do is dissolve Parliament, and then the only way to get a new one is to have an election. But there are things, these are interesting questions, by the way, that when you learn constitutional law, we do ask these questions, because it's quite important that you think through these sort of extreme scenarios. What if Parliament abolishes itself or purports to do? What happens then? And you know, this is when you get to really difficult questions. Bonus hole, hit the like button. Yes, sorry, like and subscribe. That I was supposed to say that. Is that the thing people say? I'm so bad at YouTube. Just awful at it. Who vets the politicians? In theory, the parties. Now, I think that you need to understand that in my view, I don't think either of the major parties has been recruiting on merit. And I think that's so obvious now in the Labour Party in particular, because they've got hundreds of MPs and yet they're appointing people from the Lords because they can't trust their MPs to not to stab themselves with a spoon. But the parties have been letting themselves down. That has come round. Constitutionally, that's still working. Things have come around to bite them on the bottom, and reform has arisen as a response to the two parties effectively becoming a very uniparty system and not really caring or engaging in democracy. That's right. I'm very against what's called proportional representation, because I think you end up then with the situation of a conspiracy against the people. Okay, it's a very bad idea. And in the Weimar Republic, it really annoyed people. They got to a stage where basically their equivalent of Labour and Conservatives are governing by a coalition. Right? That is a con. And that is an absolute con against the people. And people just get very angry at that type of thing. That is not what is supposed to happen. And democracy is not a managed process. Democracy is supposed to represent the people. So constitutionally, our first past the post system is working, because reform is destroying these parties. Political parties have no right to exist. PR keeps them on life support. Literally, you know, you can have one tiny party that hardly anybody supports, but they keep having one MP for, you know, hundreds of years, because that's how PR works. And it's just a conspiracy against the people. Right. I need more questions. Low tier rage bait. Oh, somebody's rage baiting. I need to get moderators. I'm aware of that. I need to get moderators. We're talking about it on my Substack on how I actually do that. Top three books for learning constitutional law. Dicey, always dicey. For a modern book, so that Dicey wrote an introduction to the study of the law of the constitution. I think his third edition is best. They're all out of print, so you can get them very cheaply. They're very old, but I honestly just go back to Dicey. I think he's the best. Then if you really must have a modern book, I would suggest Nick Barber, who wrote something called The United Kingdom Constitution. It's published by Oxford University Press. And it really is much easier to answer these questions because they're just too visible. But those two I'd start with. I'm not sure I'd bother with a third. I think I'd go away and read the Bill of Rights and probably go on Parliament's website. Take it with a pinch of salt. Don't go to any government website, but go to Parliament, or particularly the House of Lords. Often has nice papers, or Policy Exchange, or the UK Constitutional Law Association, all have very good things and resources. And I'd use those if I were you. Stay away from anything calling itself a freeman of the land. Unfortunately, because I do like a common law system, but I think that there is a tendency out there for people who are misleading on the constitution to sort of obsess about common law. So actually, if somebody just keeps going common law, common law, common law, common law, I would probably avoid them as well. It's not a helpful, it's, I mean, it's not perfect. It's not going to keep you completely safe, but stick to reliable sources. Don't go to the Ministry of Justice's website because it's got a 10-minute video that entirely misrepresents the Constitution and is an absolute disgrace. It goes on about the separation of powers. Again, if I can give you any tip, you know, anybody who says the separation of powers, just walk away. Do not engage with them. Thank you. People have been being very polite, which is very kind. Thank you, Creative Mind. Good, going to be in the woods without... the other thing is that my Substack has a series of podcasts on the Constitution, which I'm pretty sure are free. I think I didn't want to put those behind a paywall because it's our Constitution. I think they're called Our Constitution. You might have to dig around in my past content, but there should be loads on my Constitution. I might do more YouTube videos on it as well, just to help people out. Right, Flav says, just click the three dots at the side of the name in live chat and choose Add Moderator. Okay. Do you want to be a moderator? I'm going to make you one. You're going to be a standard moderator because I don't know what a managing moderator is. So, and then if I can find Hillary, all the lovely ladies from my Substack will help me. I just need to find them. Where's Denise when I need her? Gammon is, I think gammon's an abusive racial term. I just think it is. It's certainly not very nice, is it? I mean, what I want to go back to is ultimately not a world in which people are criminalizing speech all of the time. That's not a nice world in itself. That is, you know, but we should have a sense of morality. So it should be immoral to call someone a fascist when they're obviously not a fascist. I'm not a member of Reform. I like to point this out, and I'm not telling anybody to vote or support for them. But I do genuinely worry for Nigel Farage's safety, because if something happened to him, I think that would betray us as a nation. Now, if something were to happen to him, I think it would be more than just coming together, holding hands and saying kumbaya. I think that would be we've got a real rot here. And I think that every time that they call him a fascist, I think that's what they're trying to do. Do more people need to ask for exemplary damages? We're really bad on damages, Streaky. So just generally, when I was a pupil barrister, I was sent to the library to do something. I can't remember what it was. And I just got out what's called Kemp, or was called then Kemp and Kemp, which are these volumes of loose leaves, which meant that you could change them and update them whenever the law came. It's how we used to work before the internet. And I just went through them. And it was like, back then, if I lost a thumb, and somebody had negligently cut off your thumb, you got £4,500. I was just reading this going, this is not enough money for my sake, all of these injuries. And the British are traditionally absolutely appalling on damages. But yes, I think more people need to start suing the police, because the police are absolutely out of control. More videos on the Constitution. Good. As long as people agree with these things. Good. Just block trolls, guys. Yeah, that's what we should do. Beth, not quite off grid, says, can you please look at the children's wellbeing bill? Yes, you can identify it. Yes, Beth, I'm aware of it. I'll need to do a video on it so that I can explain it to everybody else. Beth, it's an absolute abomination. I just realized, and we are trapped inside this unfeeling bureaucracy that will just crush us. It's why we're already in a communist state, and it's got to be reversed. It's got to be actively taken away. We simply cannot go on this way, but my child's data is going to be stolen by way of a survey. Not even this, which is even worse, but what is happening now, they're going to steal a load of data. And then they said to me, well, if you want to, you can opt out. And it's like, okay, how do I opt out? How do I opt out? Opt out. And it's like, well, you need to log into an account. So I'd need to give them all my data in order to opt out my child. Right. Can you see what they are yet? Not only that, but I'd need a unique code that the school had sent me, it declared. But of course, the school had not sent it to me. And there was no way that I could get this code from them. There was no way I could log in, even if I wanted to log in and create an account in order to opt out. We've got to go back to the idea that you can't have opt-out systems of consent. That is abusive. Absolutely abusive. And we're going to see the greatest one ever. It's coming in the Planning Act. So they're putting this planning law through, and they're going to say that the government will send you a letter saying, if you don't respond to this letter within 90 days, we're going to buy your property for less than market value. And it's going to, the government's going to say it's sent out loads of these. And that's a system of opt-out consent, assumed consent, presumed consent, which is, I think, a monstrous evil. But anyway, they're going to send all of these letters out. And then because the postal service doesn't work, loads of people are not going to get that letter. And then the government's going to purport to have bought your house or your property or your land at substandard value, and you're going to be angry. That's going to cause a massive Barney. Just one of the many ways that we are heading towards state collapse. This is the point. I just did a, I helped out on a documentary for GB News, and I pointed out that Fabians, I don't fear the Fabians, because although they are a hidden Marxist conspiracy that lies about being a Marxist conspiracy, they are the wolf in sheep's clothing that they admit to being. They are fundamentally weak. They lead to state collapse. They don't lead to a Marxist utopia. I mean, there is no Marxist utopia. Oh, Lily, that's very generous. You're the, that's very kind and much appreciated. Hi, lovely. Please will you be a darling and straighten your lampshade? Also, if cheap enough, can I live in your rather safe and comfortable pot? Let me out when all the madness is over. I really like that pot. I'm glad somebody else likes that pot. I think it's meant to lean. I will address it. I will address it some other time, Lily, but thank you very much. I really like the pot, and I didn't, I wasn't going to buy it for ages. And then I just went, you know what? I like it. I had this really, this is my library, and I had this really odd, firstly, I think it's odd to want to build a library, but I was desperate to build a library because my granny, who turned her, she had a three bed, really two and a half bed post-war council house that she worked all her life to buy. And she turned the third, the dining room, into a little library. And I always loved her for that. And I grew up without books. And I was determined that when I made money, I would build a library, particularly so that my child would not grow up in a world, in a house without books. So I've built a library, and I'm very proud of this library. It's beautiful. And I got that pot because I thought it would be hilariously funny if we had a lemon tree in the library. And my child goes to a primary school. Because again, I actually feel much safer amongst working class people. There's a lot less of the woke nonsense at a working class primary school in town with a lot of Eastern Europeans who are very hardworking and dedicated and fabulously ambitious for their children and not communist, which is just fabulous. But I had this hilarious idea that my small child would go in and say to the teacher, you know, here is a lemon from the library, from the lemon tree in our library. And this, for some reason, it just drove me. I just thought that was hysterical. I don't know why, but I did buy a lemon tree, but I couldn't get rid of spider mites. And so eventually the lemon tree died, and then I never really put a lemon tree in it. But honestly, I just like the pot. I think it's pretty in its own right. You know, this is, and it should, you know, it speaks to classical stuff and... Sometimes I just do things because I'm deeply eccentric. I mean, my child has so many middle names that then the actual full name is too long for any government form. So that's just because I wanted to cause a problem for the government. You deal with this. Go on. I don't think we should submit. I think we must dissent. I think that's certainly now. I like to say to conservatives that, you know, if you're born a conservative in the USSR, your job is not to preserve the state. That is not what you're supposed to be doing. You know, you're supposed to be getting out of this awful communist mess. And we seem to be in an awful communist mess. Now, Josh Howie, thank you. I like Josh. Josh is one of those fundamentally decent people in life. I mean, he's a lefty, but he's just fundamentally decent. And I think it's not really going to be about party politics going forward. I think it's going to be about who's decent and who's a wrong un. And I think Josh is one of life's lovelies. Ballot paper, Ashby versus White, should the vote still be counted? And would it call for a general election which was done by masses of people? I think the best way to get a general election, honestly, is to petition the king. And I think if you do it, but also put pressure on your MP. Don't feel like a complete victim. You are not. They are scared of you. I'll tell you one secret about the SW1 doesn't want you to know, is that they are scared of you. And if you don't vote, they're even more scared of you, because you can't be planned and you're not predictable, and you might, goodness knows what, who you might vote for. And so they are very, very scared of voters. We have a huge number of MPs who have literally pathetic majorities. I picked on Labour quite a lot, so I'll just, the Shadow Chancellor, the Conservative, has something like 674 majority. That's nothing. That's nothing. You could organise a Facebook group that dwarf that, can't you? And get in control or start local Facebook groups and residence groups. Dies asked a question. Thank you. What you do? What is Article 61? I don't know what Article 61 is, because the people who raise it never have the decency to tell you. And that's one of the things that makes me realise that these are people I don't like. But let's just Google that, Di. I suspect it's either going to be Magna... Well, it's going to be Magna Carta, hasn't it? Because I don't think there's anything else left that's got 61 articles. Yeah, it's Magna Carta 1215. Security clause allowing barons to rebel against the king if he violated the charter. Well, we're not barons, so we definitely don't have the right to rebel, do we? It almost certainly won't be. Let me have a look at Magna Carta. And this is one of the reasons that, again, I get very upset about the Constitution, because not only is it not known, which is that sad, but there are people like me. Let's get Magna Carta. Oh, that's 1279. It doesn't matter. I bet it's not enforced. It won't be enforced. Loads of Magna Carta is not enforced. And now I've lost you all. Where have they all gone? There we are. So just don't worry about it. But the people who go around spreading misinformation about the Constitution really upset me, because I just think that's deeply unfair to you. You know, you're cut away from your Constitution. There aren't enough of us to go around. I mean, there are good people, like Connor Casey is a great academic who I think reaches out and crosses the boundaries. And Lord Wolfson of Tredegar, who's actually in the Conservative Party, is very good on this. Policy Exchange has got some good people on it. I could name them, but the fact that I can name all these individuals, it shows you how few that there are. Article 61 was invoked in 2001 by the barons. Oh. How nice. Did it achieve anything? No. Did it? No. The Magna Carta was written in perpetuity. Andrew, nothing can be written in perpetuity. That's not our constitution. One parliament cannot bind its successor. Love your hair. Happy to give it a lovely, the kind trim when needed. Florist, also, I'll fix that lemon tree pot. Thank you, Markle. That is very kind and much appreciated. Chloe, yes, if I could find your question, let me try and find it. I suspect it does it deliberately, doesn't it? Making it harder to find the non-paid for. But the difference between the two is... Chloe, I've only got you saying nice things about Josh, then the peasants are revolting, then... which I don't believe. Can you answer my question, please, about swearing oath on the Quran into British Parliament? They have accepted that these for a long time that the swearing of oaths on holy books and affirming without a holy book are all acceptable forms of oath. So if you go to court, we have every holy book or type of holy book there is for mainstream religions in every court. And it's quite interesting. Some of them need to be kept in sleeves and covers. Some of them don't. I think they're color coded to make the job of the clerk easier. And somebody will come over and you swear on whichever book. And if you don't swear, then you are supposed to affirm and you read out the affirmation. You hold that in your hands. The swearing of oaths is fundamental to justice and the operation of justice. It's a connection between law and divinity. So it has a very long standing tradition. It's older than Christianity. The Romans had a goddess specifically devoted to oaths called Fides, from which we derive the word fidelity. And it is about promising to the divine that you are telling the truth in fear of divine retribution. So I've always struggled with affirmation, but I suppose we just say we have practical problems of getting around things. I don't think, no, Graham Moore is not a constitutional expert. Sorry, no, that's not true. No, a Bill of Rights is not written forever. Stop saying things that are not true, not true. In fact, the High Court just confirmed recently that we don't have anything like a constitutional statute. So there's no statute is superior to any other statute. That was in relation to the Acts of Union, which had been breached by the Windsor framework. And the High Court said, yes, they've been breached, or I think they might have said suppressed by the Windsor Framework, and that's lawful within our constitution because that's how our constitution works. So there we are. Andrew, we're not going to have an argument about this. Most likely thing is I'll just remove you. But no, he's not. It's just silly. In terms of moving, so what happens if someone lies on affirmation? Well, that's the problem with it, isn't it, Sarah? But genuinely, I don't, I mean, in my area, judges are very sceptical. They're actually very sceptical about memories. So there's a lot of judicial work now that they genuinely think that people can convince themselves of things that are not true, just by sort of reliving or believing it themselves, so that a person is not lying, but they're remembering a false event. So if you're ever involved in commercial litigation or litigation over money, the most important thing you can ever have is a contemporaneous note. And some of the best advice I've ever given as a paid lawyer was to people to say, right, write that down now, date it and sign it. And then 2 years from now, when you get in front of a judge, say, on the day it happened, I wrote this down and I dated it and signed it. And the judge would go, oh, great. And the judge will believe that. Whereas if you 2 years later, you get in the witness box and go, on this day, I remember it well, this is what happened. The judge is just not going to give much weight to it. So I think it's just one of those practical things. I don't particularly like affirmation, but then there are atheists, and you know, I can't, they're not, if an atheist swears on a religious text, that's not an improvement because they don't believe in God. So Sarah, my sisters took affirmation at the family court. Yes, and I would swear, if I were asked, I'd swear on the Bible because that's what I am. Tom asks, how optimistic are you that law and England more generally can be fixed? Very optimistic, but we have a little, I don't think we've got long, because I think it's going to get worse very quickly. I think things are going to collapse very quickly. I think that the devil always shows his hand too early, and this rush towards digital ID is part of that. I think Starmer has, I think they know now. I think they know that there's no way that the Labour Party is winning the next general election. So we've got to worry about what they do in the meantime. Then we've got to make sure that whoever wins the general election is genuinely committed to restoring the country and getting rid of all of this, not just deleting stuff, but then there are places where you'll have to rebuild. The mind is very flaky. Well, that, I mean, this is Lord Justice Zaccarelli's view. He leads on this. And there's a lot of work they do in to try. Why is Graham Moore in the High Court this week? He's taking the government to court. He's got an election case. He's just, that's fine. And that's great. But it's not, it doesn't make him a constitutional scholar. He's not. Okay, and I appreciate you all like people. I mean, I've never actually paid any attention to the gentleman. I'd noticed he kept coming up in comments, that's all. But you've got to be very careful about who you trust. As I said, I mean, the best exposition of the Freeman of the Land was actually by a Canadian judge, where he just tore into it all and explained why every single thing they were saying was wrong. But this type of thing arises because knowledge of the Constitution is not widely known, which is why I am trying to teach people the Constitution. And I think what you'll probably, if I ask you to trust me more, well, I mean, I do have all the qualifications, but I just say you should notice that when I tell you what the Constitution is, it's never conveniently in my favor. Sometimes it's inconvenient for me. Like if I tell you that we can't use law to get rid of Keir Starmer, I have to tell you that because I don't think we can use law to get rid of Keir Starmer. When I told you, or as I would have told you, as I wrote in The Spectator years ago, that the Boris kangaroo court was an outrage, I also had to tell you that nonetheless, because of our constitution, because of the Bill of Rights, because Parliament has ousted the courts from its internal proceedings, no court could protect Boris Johnson from the outrage that happened to him. And that was, you know, I have to do, I think I prove my honesty best when I say things which are obviously inconvenient for me. You know, I don't want that to be happening. I was so, and not because of Boris, although he's a lovely man. It's because I didn't want that outrage to be committed by my constitution. But I had to sit there going, I have no power to stop this outrage. And so all I could do was literally tweet GIFs of kangaroos at Harriet Harman. That was basically how powerless I was left. And an MP came up to me and said, Stephen, you've got to stop calling them kangaroos. And I just went, I'm going to carry on calling them kangaroos until they stop having a kangaroo court. And I was very firm on this. But, you know, again, you've just got to, if you don't have to trust me, but I love the way Ben conducts himself. Who's Ben? Who's Ben? I don't know why I saw that. Oh, Brenda, thank you. I'm worried about the weight loss jabs. Yeah, it does feel a bit weird, doesn't it? The way they're being widely promoted. Do you think there could be something in them that could harm us? I don't know. I'm not a doctor. And I actually really liked Nigel when he said, I don't know. I'm not a doctor about taking paracetamol in pregnancy because there's no tests have ever been done on it. And there are competing scientific theories, as there always are and always should be. And the loony consensus regime that jumped him, demanded he say taking paracetamol is perfectly safe. That upset me far more than Nigel being honest. And I'm afraid, Brenda, I don't know. Jay, I mean, yeah, it is a shortcut. Shorts don't normally work. I see that. I think that's a very honest point. And whether that's true medically or just morally, I think that's an important one. Found guilty, still not been sentenced. I don't know, Mary, because I suspect there's a two-tier justice system, is what we all suspect now. Look how far we've come. 2 years ago, or thereabouts, Suella Braverman was made to resign for admitting that there was two-tier justice. Now, Robert Jenrick will name and publicly shame judges. We have got better at this. We're still held back by the, oh, you can't say that crowd. And, you know, as I said, they had a real go about Nigel for not immediately saying, claiming to know that paracetamol during pregnancy never harms a baby, which just can't, we can't know any of this. But I think we are, as a society, getting better. Our government is absolutely corrupt and outrageous. But I just think we need to bring it down. And people have now started talking about it coming down before 2029. Which again, constitutionally, it can. And I will need to be there saying that constitutionally, yes, this can happen. The king, you know, petitioning the king, I think, is a major move. Whether he'd actually do it, the fact that you've petitioned him and he's had to think about it is a change. That's a major change. That's a major statement. If imagine if a million people sent letters to the king demanding a dissolution of parliament. Just imagine it. He'd have to raise that with Starmer on a Tuesday when they meet. He'd have to say, Prime Minister, this is one other issue I've got to raise. You know, he'd have to say it. And even if nothing then happens, that's quite a major. And then the Labour Party would have to know. And the Labour ministers would have to know. And they'd all go, oh, dear God, if he dissolves Parliament, I'm going to lose my seat. Get rid of Keir. Get rid of Keir now. You know, and the Labour Party might act. When you see inaction, so often that is just a control technique. And they really are scared of us. This is great. Democracy is fabulous. It makes the leaders scared of us. Would I consider drafting a template that could be disseminated and used? What for? Oh, for a petition? No, I think that... No, and I've talked to lots of MPs about this. So one of the worst things, again, this goes back to the Ozempic point, actually. The making things easier has not helped. I've talked to many MPs who say, oh, well, if the petitions come in a standard format, I just know that they're basically automated and the constituent doesn't really care, so I just ignore them. So you've got to sort of make them bespoke. It's not that hard to say, you know, I think the Prime Minister's awful for these reasons, please dissolve Parliament. I know that this is constitutionally very tricky for you, but, you know, give it a go, mate. And I think we should, we're at a point. Now, has anybody, fair enough, that's good. Flav I can see much more easily than anybody else. Also, people who, if you tag me, I can see you much more easily. But yes. And I like postcards because I think postcards are just nice. I always used to send people postcards. I think it's quite a nice thing to do. Ben Habib says there is a treaty with Pakistan to send prisoners back to serve sentences, even dual nationals. I don't know whether there is a treaty with Pakistan. I don't really care. So I'm quite a hardliner on this in that I would simply put people on planes to Pakistan and land them in Pakistan and then push them off the planes and say to the Pakistanis, I will cut foreign aid if you don't take them. And the UAE is quite muscular with Pakistan, and so is Saudi Arabia. And Saudi Arabia and UAE say, you will take back these people now because we consider them to be vagrants. And if you don't take back these people, we'll send back all of your people. And Pakistan relies on remittance income. So the workers abroad, both here and in the UAE and in Saudi, earn money. They send it back to Pakistan. That money is part of Pakistan's they rely on that. The government needs it and taxes it. So Pakistan says to UAE and Saudi, oh, okay then. Okay. And Iran sent back really serious numbers of people to Pakistan. Again, Pakistan went, okay. And not to pick on Pakistan or just to highlight the difference, Pakistan sends nearly a million Afghans back to Afghanistan. They just push them across the border. Off you go. And we can do the same. You know, these things are more about what there is a political appetite for than what is legal. And what was a confusing and what was bad at the time, and what we've lived through, is this idea that what's legal is what matters. And that's got very confusing. And that's made lawyers overly important, frankly, as far as I'm concerned. Because it doesn't matter what the law currently says. If everybody wants something, well, we'll change the law then. Okay, and that's what we'll do. And when I talk about, you know, no parliament can bind another, that's why. And that's part of our constitution. We could just write the law to be whatever we want it to be. And if international law is inconvenient for that, then we can unincorporate it from our system, pick it out, float it off to Narnia, and just ignore it. That is our constitution. That is what we can do. So start to work out what you actually want and what you think is acceptable and what you think, how you want the country to be. I mean, I'd start from basic principles. I'd still want us to be a lovely island. So I would argue in favor of loveliness and cake. But what you do politically is not for me to tell you. It's just for me to sort of tell you how to do it. Let me have a look for any more questions. Can the king remove Sadiq Khan? No, because that's all parliamentary done. So it's just a different way. Do you believe the notion of having to get approval to protest goes against the fundamental purpose of civil disobedience? Probably, but I really take the Lord Hoffman line on civil disobedience, which is that you can't, if you want to commit, sometimes civil disobedience, people think civil disobedience is required sometimes. I mean, I'm quite law-abiding, so that's not really a line I take. But if you think civil disobedience is required, if you are willing to unlawfully protest without permission, or even do damage or other things that I would consider really quite bad, Lord Hoffman just says that's your absolute constitutional right, and part of your duty is to accept the punishment. Part of your nobility is to accept the punishment in law for the thing that you unlawfully did. And if you're not willing to accept punishment, having known that you were committing civil disobedience, then he breaks it and says, well, you're not really committed, are you? You're not really morally into this. Stephen, question. There are groups like TBI and Social Market Foundation that have a revolving door between them and Whitehall. The term is policy capture. What can be done? We must dismantle the corporate socialist state. Daryl, I'm afraid it's all part of the same problem. Large companies and government working in hoc to each other. And ultimately, that type of state collapses. It's a form of socialism. And it collapses. So we must get rid of it. We must have free market capitalism back. And so we need to stop things like that. You know, a lot of the bad laws that Starmer's going to get in the neck about now are actually just civil service policies. Taking away the winter fuel allowance was actually just a civil service policy. It had been in the Treasury for years. They asked Theresa May to do it. She said no. They asked David Cameron to do it. He said no. They asked Boris to do it. He said no. They asked Liz to do it. She said no. They asked Rishi Sunak to do it. Sunak said no. And then Starmer gets in, and because he's got even less control over the civil service than anybody has before, because effectively they're on the same side. So they end up, you end up having less influence as a Labour government because we're all on the same side. And so because of that, they just basically pushed through the policy and said, this is happening. The robot, who is the Chancellor, announced it. The gurning Emma Reynolds, I'll never forgive, sitting on the bench looking as though this is the best thing since sliced bread, when effectively it was just punishing poor old people. This is what will destroy society. This is why we'll get state collapse unless we restore democracy and capitalism. Stephen and Barrett, how would a leader go about tearing apart the Supreme Court? That's really easy. That's so easy. So the Supreme Court exists because of an act of Parliament. Okay. And one of the reasons you don't accept things like the argument that the Bill of Rights 1688 can't ever be repealed is that it gives you the ability to say, aha, the act which created the Supreme Court, well, that can be repealed too. And then if you want to replace it with something, you can replace it with something. And if you don't, by default, the Court of Appeal becomes the highest court in the land. And so that is why when I say I stick to a version of the Constitution which is honest, it's also it's most importantly the consistency there, because it allows us to fix everything. Kara die. What's going on? Everybody's happy about something. I believe the best type of leader is an unwilling one who wants the change to happen. Yeah, I think that's probably right. But you're not ever going to get. I mean, this is the thing. Like, benevolent dictators are actually quite good, but you just can't guarantee one. And if you don't have, if you have hereditary dictators, then you might statistically get a good one. And then, but what do you do when you've got a bad one? And if you have non-hereditary dictators, you're even less likely to get a good one, because then you just become dictator by stabby, stabby, stab, stab. And the man who's most willing to stabby, stabby, stab, stab is not going to be the nice guy who ends up being a benevolent dictator. So instead, we have democracy, and democracy works not because we assume that MPs will be deeply moral and lovely and marvelous people, but because we assume that they will be scared of the voters. And the danger is that the last 30 years has started to make them less scared of you. And that's what we must always fight. We must make them aware that they serve their constituency at your pleasure. And that's why you must get together, learn your own constituency boundary as well, because it'll be weird. It'll be a lot odder than you think. Loads of them are just absolutely mad. I mean, I can get a taxi from me to my friend Judy's house, my substitute mother, and I will pass from. I live in Buckinghamshire, and I'm in a parliamentary constituency, and I will leave the constituency, and I will then even leave Buckinghamshire and get into Oxfordshire. And then I'll return back into Buckinghamshire. And then by the time I get to Judy, I'm back in the parliamentary constituency. A lot of them are just like, what? So learn your... thank you very much, Coda. These live streams are amazing. Thank you for taking the time. I'll put your knowledge. No, I really enjoy them. And this one's heading to a close. I don't know when the next one will be, but I need some sort of ideas of what videos people want to watch. It's sort of very hard to know. I'm still very new to... YouTube. I probably got time for one last question if I could find something. The last monarch to deny royal assent was Queen Anne. Still can though, David. Still can though. And one of the questions I like to postulate is: imagine you're a young king, and you're facing decades of a relationship with the public. Provided you don't mess up, you're going to have to get on with the public for decades. And your government comes along with the assisted dying bill and says, give your assent to this. And you go, no way, this is going to lead to a massive scandal. I mean, it might take 4 or 5 years, 6 years, but it's going to lead to a massive scandal of loads of unlawful deaths and sad families and grieving, angry people. The people will be rioting in the streets. This is a car crash. I'm not signing this. And you might do what I would do in that situation, if I was that monarch, is I would... thank you, Kate. And thank you, Murder of Crows. What I would do is not give assent, because then even if they then pressure you and they apply pressure through the press and all the rest of it, and the government goes, I will resign if His Majesty does not sign this, and you're forced into it, at least then, once the scandal hits, you've got this, you can go, I didn't even want to sign it. I was against it at the time. You know, at least you've got that backup. And, you know, 20 years ago, 25 years ago, it's 26 years ago, when I learned the Constitution, it was thought impossible that anybody would ever use royal assent. But I can guarantee you 26 years ago, we thought it was impossible that the state would bring back mass killing of civilians and citizens. No, nobody thought that this was possible. The example I would have always given back then would be the death penalty. But this is like the death penalty on steroids, because there are relatively few people who would be killed by a death penalty, whereas this is huge swathes of the population. It's going to be the biggest scandal of most of our lives. And if I was a reigning monarch, I would refuse assent. I can't see. And if I'd said this 26 years ago, people would have laughed at me. But we've got the assisted dying. But to be honest, I would have refused assent on the abortion up till birth. Because you've got to push these issues. These are not theoretical. People are putting substitute mother. Yeah, I lost my mother. Sorry. many years ago. But so I have a substitute mother, which I'm very happy with. I'm very lucky to have a substitute mother. And my child has a substitute grandmother. Right. People are being lovely. Boats and hotels. Yes, okay. I'll do the boats and hotels soon. A video on how you can oppose local migrant hotels might be useful. One last question, please. Craig Houston said I can come back on because apparently my stats were ace. Asylum seeker claims asylum in one country. They cannot claim asylum again anywhere else. Is that true? We tried to fix this. I think that relates to the Dublin Convention, which was inside the EU. It's never functioned inside the EU. So don't let anybody tell you the EU has fixed asylum. It obviously hasn't. You only need to barely look at any EU country to see asylum problems. The only one that's doing anything succeeding is Poland and Hungary. And both of them are being sued and threatened by the EU for not taking in loads of asylum seekers. I want Princess Anne to have her own lighthouse. I think the world of Princess Anne. I think the absolute world of her. Isn't the king the head of the church? Yes, he is. Good. Everybody seems happy and good. That is another successful live stream. Thank you very much, everybody. Thank you particularly to those who donated. And let's keep going onwards and upwards with the YouTube channel. Take care, everybody. Bye.